What's up? What's happening? You not tuned in to Real Thinkers Podcast. I almost forgot the name of the podcast because we ain't did it in 2 weeks. But you can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And I'm here with some of the best co-hosts I have. Tink, what's happening?
What's up, y'all? You can follow me on Twitter at _I'm_Tink.
Day.
What's up with y'all, man? Y'all can follow me on Twitter at Just Call Me Day.
Slim is out this week. She's out of town. Jay Gray is out. Say this. Lots been going on the last 2 weeks.
A lot of personal stuff with everybody. Everybody been having a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. So I'ma say this though. We gonna continue the hashtag that his students did. Pray for Gray. And that is spelled pray for Gray. And they are doing that hashtag on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious. But yeah, pray for my homie. Pray for the homie. We hope he gets well soon. Let's talk about this. Since she just watched this, I want this to be the second topic. We're gonna knock this one out first. A guy went on a Steve Harvey TV show. He took his female best friend on there, and she thought that they were just going on there to talk business, but at the end of the segment, he pulled her to the side and he proposed to her. Tank is over here in tears.
It was so beautiful. They were best friends for 5 years. She has 3 boys. And in his speech, he said, our 3 boys. He is taking in 3 boys. He want to show them how to cut the yard, how to love women. And it's just like, you don't have people, you don't have people that want to do that nowadays. And God, it was just beautiful. And she said yes.
Yeah, she did. She did. After he gave that, I don't see what woman would tell. At least you got to at least go roll with it on that live TV. National TV. You got to roll with that one. Can't just say no.
Do you really, though?
To save his face, yes. Because if you tell him no, he got to live with that one. But I don't know. That probably would have turned up his pussy rate.
Yeah, he would have had all kind of offers.
Because that speech was amazing.
That speech was grand.
Yeah, that speech was amazing.
It was off the chain, like Steve Harvey said. But if you say yes and you get home, be like, you know, I don't really know if we should get married.
I like that better. Said yes so I wouldn't embarrass you.
Yeah, I'd rather, tell me, like, pull me to the side and at least, like, have a conversation. Like, if you ain't really feeling it, just be like, okay, you know, not yes right now. We can, like, talk about it later, work towards it. Because, you know, I know some people don't necessarily feel about marriage the same, you know, at different points in their life or in a relationship. They may not even be thinking about it, and you just, you know, kind of pop up with the shit on them. You know, they kind of, you know, they might not be ready for it, so they put me to the side. But what I will say about this is, like, this just shows, like, how important, like, being a best friend, like, to people. Because I know a lot of, when I tell you marry your best friend, and I've been to a few weddings, and, like, the husband always say he married his best friend, and the wife say he married his best friend. A lot of people, like, don't really like their friends of the opposite sex like that. Like, we had that conversation on the show a few times where we, like, talk about not dating your best friend or not seeing them that way. But a lot of times, the person that's your best friend or opposite sex might be, like, the person you could get married to. Yeah. And a lot of people, they don't really look at it like that. They just think they're just going to, like, find somebody and be in love with them from day one and then just, like, change their life. And usually be the worst relationships because later on down the line, they find out that person really ain't about shit.
Or they ain't got nothing in common or anything like that.
Yeah,
I agree. Just seen that video. Some dude proposed to a girl, and she was like, no.
Yeah, in the middle of the street.
How the fuck am I going to marry you?
Yeah, so, like, that, I've proposed to a woman before. Yeah, I'll never do that shit again. Yeah, it's over. That's the worst rejection ever. Because, one, I didn't even get a no.
What'd she say?
She didn't say yes or no.
What'd she do?
She moved out of state a month later.
Damn.
So,
she changed her phone number too?
Nah. She still stalked me to this day, though.
What?
Exactly. 7 years later. I'll show you something when we get over.
But, I'm sorry that happened to you.
But yeah, so I'm actually happy it happened. I was settling like a motherfucker. Mm. I knew she was a horrible person. Mm. I knew that we didn't click, but I didn't want. She knew my deepest and darkest secrets, so I felt like, okay, I can trust her with that. And then I was holding on to this one moment, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, okay, that one situation meant that she loved me, so I should stick this shit out with her and hopefully get better somewhere down the line. This helper told me that I was a bitch ass nigga because a real man would have been knocked her out. She used to literally tell me that.
So she advocating getting her ass whooped?
Yeah, that's basically what she, like.
Like, teach me a lesson?
Like, she would literally want to fight. Like, she would throw punches, and I would leave the house.
Man, see, man, bitches like that, like, get turned on by abuse and shit, man. I don't know.
But see, that was another thing that she told me, that her father was abusive, and she remember, you know, things that her father did to her mother and shit. And at the time, I didn't really pay it any mind. But, yeah, that's all she liked to do. That's all she. That's like why I'm so big on not arguing with people now. You know what I'm saying? Like, when a chick hit me up on some argumentative shit, I can dig it. What's up? Okay.
You dodged a bullet.
Yeah, I really did.
Do those kind of females call the police, though, when they do get their ass?
Man, the first day we moved in together, I don't know if I told you the story, but the first day we moved in together,
I think you did when you said she was like screaming.
Yeah, she was screaming, and she opened the front door and just laid in the middle of the floor screaming while I was in the other room with headphones on, and the police came in and all that shit. But I ain't go to jail looking for me though.
Yeah,
because just going to jail on a domestic violence charge is the worst. You don't even have to be convicted. Just going, that shit stays. You know what I'm saying? That's a stigma that stays with you. But I will say this though, on the marrying the best friend thing, I feel like that's a lot of people don't end up marrying their best friend because they don't be friends. They're not friends with their lover first, you know, enjoying each other and learning things about each other and evolving with each other. I don't think that happens a lot. So, for instance, one chick, like, I'm still crazy about her to this day. I will willingly admit that. But we were friends first. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And shit just built it naturally. But I fucked it up. You know what I'm saying? And I'm willing to admit that too. So, everybody else, I don't know. I honestly really don't know.
My ex and I, we were friends before we got together. But as time progressed, we were together for 6 years. As time progressed, he just grew apart. I grew up, he didn't. So
yeah, you had those situations like that where y'all be cool at first, and as time go along, y'all probably drift apart.
Yeah.
Or y'all drift closer. I can't say it. Like, anytime I ever got serious with a chick, it's like I know off top, like, she might be the one, because like, it's certain shit that I look for and I see, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this might work out. Then I go for it and see like if we'll be cool. But in the, like, I try to be friends first, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, this, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to think long term, so I'm just gonna like plant little seeds, you know, see if she take the baby. But most time that shit don't really work out, cause she probably be stuck on another nigga.
Yeah, and that chemistry changes once. It's like, that's why I hate titles now. At first, I used to be all about titles.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When you're friends, you know, you pick up that vibe that, okay, well, maybe we could be together. You know, I like them. We got so much in common, blah, blah, blah. That could be my boyfriend and girlfriend. But as soon as you become boyfriend and girlfriend, those things change. You have those relationship expectations, and he can't do what you used to do as his friend and shit like that, and things change, and that could be detrimental to the friendship and the relationship itself.
Well, see, somebody said that yesterday on Twitter. I remember saying that the hardest thing about being in a relationship is evolving, and when the people that you involve into clash, when they start to clash, like, they don't mesh together. And I think I see that from people from afar, not saying being in on what's going on, but I think people really, really genuinely love each other when they are together, and then the new person that they become or they grow into just doesn't mesh well.
Right.
And then they don't want to let go of what they got, because I think the word history gets thrown around a lot. Mm-hmm. We got history together, you know. I don't want to let her go, man. You know, we done been through a lot. We done been through a lot. She been there for me, and we tend to hold on to the past versus what's going on now and thinking about the future.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So we really cross those things up and feel like that's why we have to stay in it, and then don't be happy in the process. It's like we trying to trick ourselves into happiness,
thinking it's gonna get better just because you do have history. I'm trying to go back to how you used to be, but it ain't that easy.
I know I've been guilty. Man, I wish things just go back to the way they were.
I was too. My last relationship, I was too. And we ain't together no more.
Like smoking cigarette or weed for the first time. You know what I'm saying? That first hit, you want that again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't get it again. Some people look at it to live that first high out throughout their whole relationship. But I think a lot of people have to understand that the way things go for other people are not going to go the same way for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
that might be like the biggest problem is like comparison. Like when people think that just because somebody else did something is supposed to be the same way for them. Like, shit, they've been through this, and this, and they still together. But we damn near hate each other after one little argument. You know what I'm saying? They thinking like, damn, is it me? Something wrong with me? Or is it something wrong with the people that I'm choosing? And then it just take a toll on them, and then it builds up like this whole mistrust with other people, and they don't really like dating and shit. All because of how they feel like it should be, when it's like different for every person and with every person that you be with. Like everything ain't, it's not like a textbook way how shit's supposed to be. And that shit kind of like throw everybody out.
Well, what about the people who tend to let things go at the first sight of trouble? Like, soon as I see something, I'm done. Like, you got one shot and it's over. What about those people?
Those like unrealistic people.
Yeah.
And like just
expectations are too high.
Yeah, entirely too high. And it's like, I can understand, like, it's certain shit that you're not going to deal with and you want to nip it in the bud. Like, I know everybody got, like, got a few things that's, like, if this happened, you know, I'm going to be pissed off or, like, turned off or some type of way. But, like, if they don't know that, if you don't tell them what you can and can't deal with, then if they do it, I don't think you can really just, like, cut them off like that. That's where communication comes into play. Like when you got to tell people, okay, look, this is what I can and can't deal with, and if you do this, then okay, I'm gonna feel a certain type of way about it, and I ain't gonna be 100% sure if I'm gonna stick around if you keep doing this shit.
Yeah,
just imagine if the tables were turned. Like, you're not the only person in the relationship, so you sitting up here thinking as soon as they do something, I'm gone because I don't like it. Okay, what if you do something they don't like?
Yeah.
What and you the one that want to work it out, but you made one little mistake and now they're kicking you out the door. You're going to be fucked up.
Yeah, you outside with your boom box playing Sometimes I Cry by Eric Benet.
Oh, goodness.
Or playing Turn the Page by Bobby V. Y'all don't know about that. I used to send it to one of my ex so much when she tried to break up with me. Please don't turn the page.
Y'all remember playing songs on voicemails and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Just listen to the lyrics.
But congratulations to that beautiful couple.
Yeah.
I hope they last. I really do hope they last.
Man, all right. So that makes me ask, how would you react if your best friend, who you've never been with romantically, propose to you?
Dang.
You might say yeah. The way you just cried, you for sure gonna say yeah.
I'm gonna say yeah. I'm gonna say yeah, but I really don't know.
I think you gonna say yeah. You gonna cry. But look though, you might cry enough to the point where you like he just assumed that your tears mean yes.
Yes. There we go. So really, I ain't got to say no. I ain't got to say yes or no.
He's like,
what is it? She said yes, everybody.
He just got to say so. Yeah, and everybody.
I mean, but the thing is, though, if I've been best friends for somebody for that long, but I don't feel a romantic connection with them like he does, I don't know if I will say yes. That's my friend. Like, I'm not finna just...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was, like, kind of questionable for them. Like, some... I think she knew she had to know. She knew that it was something that, and maybe she wanted it to be more, but like he said, it was circumstances.
So I wonder if they've had any kind of those drunk conversations, like he felt on her booty or something. He was like, girl, your booty big, you know, your booty big. Got 3 kids.
That's possible.
And it made her easier. It made it easier for her to be like, he has touched my booty before. I can't say yes. We had some, you know, history.
See, I guess that's why I don't, like, really be best friends with chicks, because I know, like, how I am, what I'm looking for. It's like, bro, I'm not finna just waste my time. Like, if we gonna be friends, we gonna be friends and be cool. Or, like, I'm gonna keep you, like, at a distance. Cause, like...
You've never had a female best friend?
Nah.
I used to be like that, but I got plenty of female friends. Like,
don't, like,
so how do you get your second point, like your female point of views, when you have like
that shit necessary?
I asked chicks on Twitter or whatever. Like,
you
I
ain't your friend, nigga.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like I ain't never really had no best friend. Like, bro, I'm 29, fool. I ain't never like had nobody just I can just talk to about anything.
You gotta be more open to that, man. That shit is.
It ain't that I ain't open. It's just that I like, dog. I really don't like people telling my business to other folks. I really hate this shit.
Well, find you a true friend that ain't gonna tell your business
and
to other folks.
And I can't, folks. This shit ain't, you know how hard it is to find?
Yeah, it's hard.
Especially
well, I think it's kind of hard for him to tell people incriminating things. Like,
yeah, it's like, I don't, like.
I broke into her house.
Nah, it ain't
well,
she
don't
like.
Don't start the friendship out
and
like.
Watch
nah,
her
it,
sleep.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't like I started a friendship out like this. Just, I started off like, okay. We cool, like, we laugh and joke, we go kick it and shit, like, we good, and we have, like, little conversations, but, like, as far as, like, having, like, deep conversations and shit like that, I don't really have nobody I can do this shit with. So, and, like, I do it sometimes with, like, chicks that I think there may be some, but at the end of the day, like, the shit just usually don't work, so.
As a friendship?
I mean, we be cool, but, like, we not, like, friends.
Like, how can you not be, like, I don't get how you can not be friends.
Like, bro, I kind of take the word friend seriously. I look at it like, as if I get fucked up and I'm on my ass and, like, you can't help me or, like, help, you know what I'm saying, bank my situation better, then I can't consider you a friend. So, you know what I'm saying? So, it's like.
So, you base friendships off monetary things?
No, not monetary things and not what you can do for me. You don't have to do anything for me. Like, if I need you, if I'm going through something and I need to vent. And then I vent to you, and you learn, you listening, you actually giving me feedback, then, okay, you know what I'm saying? You gaining my trust.
See, that's why I might be a horrible friend.
Because you just listen.
I don't know how to open.
And then I don't like feeling like I'm bothering people or complaining about the shit that's going on in my life. I don't like constantly telling people, man, shit going wrong in my life. I hate that. I don't like coming to people with bad news.
It ain't more so as being bothersome to me. It's knowing how to respond and tell people things, or mainly open up and be affectionate.
So would you feel different if you had somebody that came to you and was opening up to you about their problems, and in return, you know, okay, well, she telling me
I think that probably would
that'll help, because like I think I like listening more and helping people with their problem more than you know what I'm saying. It's like
she gonna hit them up. So I gave him head, and I told him, don't know my mouth, he know my mouth.
Well, shit.
See, that's the thing. It's like,
the best friend
I don't know.
In the world.
I just feel like, I feel differently about this shit, because it's like, when people come to me with their problems, like, I'm all ears, and I'm willing to help them. Like, I, you know what I'm saying, do what I can to help them out. But when shit goes wrong with me, I'm a little hesitant to come to people or talk to them, because, like, I don't think there's nothing they can do to help my situation, because, like, I always have to fix the shit myself. And the only thing, like,
you would have to do that anyway.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I have to do it anyway. But, like, if they would just say, man, fuck it, I'm a plan some of you. Like, we just go kick it one day. Like, that's the shit I be cool with. Like, that's how you can, like, gain my trust. Like, just help take my mind off the shit that's going on.
And you never had that happen?
Not really. Like, it's temporary. Like, it happened for a little while, then it stopped.
Oh.
Okay. So that's why it's like it's kind of hard for me to do that, because like I don't know if they're gonna be around that long.
I can understand that, because I've definitely gone through people who I thought were my friends and they end up not being true friends in the long run. But the friends I have now, my mom always told me, you find your true friends, you'll find out who they are as you get older, probably when you graduate college. And I didn't understand it until I graduated college, and I have three best friends that I've been knowing for over a decade.
I think it's different way. You find out who your true friends is when it's time to move.
Move?
Hell yeah.
To help you move.
Hey,
right as hell.
Ask your friends.
You so right.
Ask your friend. Hey, who helped me move this weekend?
You right.
You find out who your dogs is real quick.
Damn. That's fucked up.
Only reason I didn't bother nobody when I moved this last time, because we ended up moving a day earlier than planned. I think we was off, and we ended up moving. But yeah, so I don't know. For me, if one of my female best friends proposed to me, I probably would flip the table.
Flip the table.
First off,
why?
First though, little boy day tomorrow.
What that mean?
Like, I'm not no little boy. I don't need you to be doing nothing. Like, don't go out your way doing stuff that I'm supposed to be doing for me. You know
what
I'm saying?
Proposing.
Yeah. That's like you waking up and your wife changed your oil.
I'd be cool with it.
I can't, bro. I like working on my car. I like doing stuff to my car. Don't do that.
I'm saying, yeah. Shit. Maybe she like cars too.
I don't surprise me. With that, like, that's some shit we supposed to know about each other in the learning process, getting to know each other. I like cars too. We got something in common.
Baby, I'm gonna get my oil changed. I already did that for you. You asleep. You look so peaceful.
I'm finna go change my oil. I already did it. What you mean you already did it? Now I need to go check and see if you did everything right. Before I get in the car, my motor started knocking. Cause ain't no oil. You left the oil cap off.
A little extreme, KB. I've never heard of it.
That's happened. My homeboy, his brother went to Walmart, got his oil changed. They forgot to put his shit back on, and the oil was leaking out the bottom of his car, and motor locked up on his ass. Dead serious. I bullshit you not.
Wait, the girl.
Walmart. I'm saying, professionals did not do their job correctly.
But this ain't got nothing to do with the girl.
No, I'm just saying that does happen though, where somebody don't do that. So if a professional, people who get paid,
I'm thinking you talking about you had a friend who girl changes oil.
No.
Without him knowing.
Nah, even if I did, I wouldn't embarrass them on the show like this.
We wouldn't know who they are.
I still wouldn't tell they bitch. That's fucked up. But that hasn't happened though, for me to tell. But if that happened to me, I'd be fucked up. So don't propose to me, bro. Don't do me no favors.
Man.
Okay, like what if she took you on there to, you know, confess her love to you?
Okay, that's better. That's better. Like, if I had a female best friend to confess her love, I would.
On national TV.
I would feel a little awkward. Because I probably wouldn't see it coming.
And would you say, you know,
I wouldn't embarrass her. I wouldn't embarrass her, though. I wouldn't tell her that. Let me take that back, because I do say I love you too for the sake of argument, so let me take that back.
And if you don't say you love her, you take her.
I probably would just be like, you know what, me too. Yeah.
If it's Steve Harvey, you too what? You too what? You, come
on. Hey, fuck him, because I tell him that shit. Fuck you. See, you can't put me on national TV. I'm going to say some shit I supposed to be said. Hey, fuck you and that mustache.
Man, I think I could, if a chick proposed to me or like did some shit like that, I'm cool with it, man. Just let me know I'm appreciated. I don't care. However way you want to express that way, just let me know, man. And I will definitely
say yes.
I mean, I return the favor greatly. Like, with people I fuck with, they know I fuck with them, man, because I do shit for them. Like, it may not always get returned back, but long as they know I fuck with them, it's good with me. But sometimes, yeah, I do like, hey man, I got this for you, or man, we need to go out and go kick it. And then they pay for your thing. Like, okay, man, I appreciate that. That's just a nice gesture. Like, just let me know, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you a cool nigga. I fuck with you, man. You doing the right thing. Here, man. You know what I'm saying? Just on some cool shit like that.
All right. So, since we got that out the way, let's talk about a little bit about the game versus Meek Mill.
Are we gonna throw Sean Kingston in there or just?
Yeah, we can talk about Sean Kingston.
I haven't been following it because it just seems silly as hell to me.
I was really surprised to see Sean Kingston in there.
All right, so Sean Kingston got robbed at a nightclub for his chain.
Right.
This was in June
of this year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. September comes, game goes to Miami.
July, August. Okay.
He gets on stage and he says, "Fuck Meek Mill, that nigga ratted on me." Game ain't been to jail. Once again, Game has not been to jail for anything related to Sean Kingston.
Okay.
Alright. So, everybody like, where the fuck are you getting any of this from? To my knowledge, if a nigga snitched on you in June, you be mad in June. You be mad in July. You be mad in August.
What month we in? We almost in October.
Yeah.
October is weekend.
This nigga waited till September to be mad because the shit didn't happen. Because you know why?
Why?
Soon as he said that shit and he started hitting the blogs, I go pre-order my new album.
Hello. Why he always got to use fuck shit like that for his marketing strategy?
I don't know. I guess
you don't have a legit PR team.
Man,
did 50 used to do shit like that?
Well, 50 kind of different. He came out the Ja Rule shit.
That happened like after it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So, and then I think everything after that was just people coming at him. Like Ross came at him first. Yeah. The shit with Fat Joe and them was just basically because they went and got on a song with Ja Rule and they was helping his career out. The 50 was killing him. But I might be biased because I'm a Meek Mill fan, but even if you look at any of this shit, you know, you don't call no dude no rat without no type of proof. Yeah. You know?
And like the one thing I did, like I like seen a little bit of, but I haven't been following, is like Meek Mill and Sean Kingston is friends. And if you know what I'm saying, like say KB, me and you in the club, like if some niggas beat you up, rob you, take your shit, wouldn't you want to know who did it?
Yeah, you telling me ain't telling the police.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I tell you, hey, you need to go confront these because these folks that did, you need to go after them. That ain't written.
Yeah.
You know what
Game
I'm saying?
They had investigators come to his house.
Okay. Time out. They came to your house. They left. You didn't go to jail.
They still came to his house, though.
But that's an investigation. First off, Sean
Kingston. Accusations.
First off, the night after it happened, Sean Kingston's mama was on Instagram blaming Game. His mama. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Saying, hey, you gonna get yours, bam, bam, bam. What that got to do with anybody else? Especially, like, if dude knew you did it from Jump Street or knew your people had something going on to do with it, then that's just what it is. But his name wasn't nowhere in the police reports.
No shit like
that. Nothing like that. So it's just like, basically, you
street
look...
Talk.
Yeah. You just looking for a come up. You know what I'm saying?
Even though, man, the principle is, man, like, dog, if it's me and my best friend, dog, if something happened to them, I'm going to point them in the right direction to get the shit straight.
I still don't even think he did that much.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't have proof that he did. But even if he did, Meek Mill ain't in the wrong for this shit.
Yeah, but dude just looking for publicity. I can't wait for his album to drop. So it could do whatever it's gonna do, and I live up to whatever expectations that he feel that he had for himself, and we can move along with this and get along. Cause DC 4 finna drop, and that shit finna be harder than anything Game finna put out. I can guarantee you that. Because Meek got a point to prove. Fuck Drake. Views.
Views was not that good.
Exactly.
And I'm a Drake fan.
And the hype has worn off. It and really has. Nobody's
I have
listening.
Not. I've only played that album probably
but see, look,
one time.
It's kind of bad because Views came out. It was lukewarm. Steph Curry them blew a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, man.
Light-skinned niggas ain't just
2016. The year 2016 really ain't been that far either. So
yeah. It didn't took a lot. Bro, the year 2016 has took so many people.
Dog, look, man, when I tell you I woke up Wednesday, bro, I seen that shit.
Bro, like, nigga, that shit taking everybody.
I'm like, bro, I was just.
Like the year just said, you know what? I'm finna fuck shit up. 2016 came through and said, I want everybody. That shit got Prince. It got.
Man. David Bowie, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali.
Kimbo Slice.
Wow, shit. Forget about Kimbo.
It just took Jose.
And then, yeah, he's a pitcher.
Yeah.
Pitcher for the Marlins.
For the Marlins. Dude.
And then it's people
nigga
who
shot
you,
it low,
you,
man.
Yeah, just shout it low. Yeah. Rest in peace, shout it low, man.
You can't. It's people when you like, damn, I didn't think they would just be dying like just this soon.
We really got to bring the shout it low jog challenge, dog. We got to do that.
Plaz kind of did, but it really wasn't it. Like, Plaz had his little jog, but there really wasn't no shot at low.
Yeah, it wasn't the shot at low jog, you know what I'm saying? But he still need to pay some type of respect to that man.
I agree.
To a certain extent, it kind of was that. Because it's two simple dances, but it's kind of same thing.
Yeah, and I want to, like, shout out to Atlanta for sending that man off the right way, like.
He got
so much love from everybody.
That block party that they had, with the visual that they had, man, and they shut down the whole block for dude. You know what I'm saying? Just to go out and light candles for bro. And I feel like this great. And then at the same time, I feel better knowing that he went out and not at the hands of somebody murdering him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, he was at the Blue Flame, the night it happened. Like,
yeah, they said, what a legend way to go out. You know what I'm saying? You died after leaving Blue Flame. One of the biggest Atlanta strip clubs ever. You know what I'm saying?
He was, like, niggas was saying he was in there by himself and had no entourage. And, like, he was just in there kicking it. Like, he was just a regular dude. And showed him, man.
And he had just buried his father 4 days prior. You know what I'm saying?
That was real messed up hearing about that, too. And then he got 11 kids. And I remember they were going to have, like, a reality show about it. But once they found out, it wasn't really going to be, like, no drama between his baby mamas and shit.
Yeah, they didn't want to air.
And they pulled the plug on him.
So, man, that's my thing, man. I feel like if y'all motherfuckers could go get nearly all lives matter ass out of debt, you know what I'm saying? Look out for Shawty Low, stream his music on iTunes, Spotify, and Tidal.
Go buy Unison the City.
Yeah,
man.
Buy the albums, buy his singles, get his family some money, man. Make sure they straight. People was like, I ain't going to do it because most of his kids grown. Man,
why
stop
does that
being,
even matter?
Yeah, stop being
know.
A little.
Your big grown ass,
yeah.
Want the same thing done for you.
Stop being a little fucktard, man, and help these folks out. Motherfuckers.
Why folks don't be wanting to help people nowadays? Like, why it's got to be, if it's up to me, I wouldn't do it because they grown. What does that mean?
It's the thing, like, people, that's one of my pet peeves. Like, people don't want to help nobody unless they get something in return.
Exactly.
And that's not really help, like, dog. You got to do.
If motherfuckers help tap dancing ass Nelly get out of debt, you can motherfucking help Shawty Low family. Because one, you don't know what, even if they grown, they might be in college. He may have been paying for their expenses. He may have been taking care of them still. You know what I'm saying?
And
you,
what he in debt
just because,
he went, what was he in debt for? He wasn't paying taxes?
With
that?
The IRS.
Yeah, but still, who?
Nelly.
Yeah, he was in debt with the IRS.
That's his own fault.
That's his own fault. Yeah. And he grown as hell. Exactly.
You help him.
Yeah.
That's the same shit you just told me.
He grown as hell. You help a grown ass Nelly, but you can't help a little grown ass kid. But that's the thing. You don't stop being a parent just because your kids are of age. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like every day I've been streaming at least one or two songs of Shawty Low just so it's like, hey, they could go towards, you know what I'm saying, his family and shit, make sure they cool. And like I said, he was a well-respected Atlanta rapper. You know what I'm saying? And I liked how everybody showed him love.
Yeah. Even T.I., like, when they had their little beef or whatever, he's, you know what I'm saying, they squashed it later on and ended up, like, living down the street from each other.
Now, they live like, next door to each other. My uncle stay down the street from them.
Oh, yeah, man. That's, like, one of the great things I like about this shit, man. Like, how niggas, they had their problems, but, like, they put this shit to the side and they grow. And then get cool after the fact and they can laugh about it. And Tip was like, he was glad he was able to, you know, even though they had their difference, he was glad they was able to talk about his men and neighbors and laugh about the shit. Because a lot of people don't get their chance. They hold grudge with people and something happened to them, then they can't never go back to, you know what I'm saying, to mend the situation. Which, like, I seen the post of, like, a chick that was like, I should have answered your
DM. Yeah, that was it.
You remember he proposed to his girl at the club?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? All right, well, he I think it was either her birthday party, and he threw this big extravagant party, and he proposed to her in front of everybody, but they never got married. He called off the widow, and that was her. And she was just being a shady-ass bitch.
And that's the shit I hate. It's like, bro, you got to give people their flowers while they can still smell them. That's another thing I hate. Like, dog, everybody want, like, if you love somebody, like, dog, tell them now. Like, show them appreciation now while they still here. Because when they not here, don't do all the extra shit. Like, don't be like, damn, I should have did this. I should have spent more time with you. I should have answered your call. Nah, like, when they doing it, when they trying to hit you up, and you know what I'm saying, communicate with you now. Like, do this shit now. Like, don't wait till it's too late.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, man, a lot of people, they wait till you gone and then they tell people how they fuck with you and all this shit. My nigga, when I die, a lot of people know who I fuck with, who I don't fuck with. If you see any of the people that you know for a fact that I didn't fuck with while I was alive sitting up here talking about, deal with my nigga. Man, find them and smack the shit out they motherfucking ass. Like, dead ass serious. Don't show me no fake love when I'm gone. I want to be that same bitch ass nigga behind my back when I die. Say this shit when I'm gone too. Call me that bitch ass nigga. You still gonna get seen about this shit. Cause my niggas ain't gonna let that ride. So you do that. You know what I'm saying? I hate this shit. Like, I see people pass. You know what I'm saying? That I don't fuck with. I ain't gonna say nothing about them sideways. You know what I'm saying? Cause I respect the dead or whatever. Depending on who it is. You know what I'm saying? If it was my ex that I live with, I'm throwing a party. More than 23 pieces.
It's a few people I'm waiting on to die, man. Like, a few white folks, but
we gonna get into that. Every fucking police officer. Mine. George Zimmerman. You know what I'm saying? And not every police officer. Every police officer that murdered. Every police officer who murdered a black man or woman in cold blood,
child, shit.
I can't wait for you to die. Real shit.
I look at them as a whole, as a unit, and they all represent one. So if one do some fucked up shit, it look bad for all of them. So they all a part of it because they ain't doing shit about it.
I do like the little post that T.I. put up about the conversation evolved when we started to talk about police officers. I do like what T.I. wrote. He was like, they're good officers. If you're going to stand back and let these other officers be crooked, you might as well be a crooked cop yourself. Because it's just like, if you hit the block and it's 12 people standing out on the block and 11 of them drug dealers, the 12th person might as well be a drug dealer too, because you're going to treat them just the same. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I feel. I feel like, you know what I'm saying, like, you can't be a good officer and you standing back turning the blind eye, the whole protect the blue shield and all that shit. Yeah, fuck man, that. Especially when you seeing people die like that.
Yeah, that's the shit that's just frustrating. It's like, bro, this shit has been going on for years, like, since the beginning of time, and, like, ain't shit changed, and these motherfuckers don't want shit to change because they feel that's how it is and how it should be, when it's really, you know what I'm saying, fucked up. And it's like, this, ever since Colin Kaepernick started doing shit, like, it just opened up all the hypocrisies mm-hmm. of this country, and, like, how this nation tell you one thing but then mean and go do something totally different. They say land of the free, with an asterisk on it. Like, it's like all of this shit, like all the constitution and like the laws and all this shit come with like asterisks and fucking loopholes and all this shit for anybody who want to do some wrong to get through.
Yeah.
And man, like, dog, I don't think shit, you can't reform this shit. Like, you have to really like tear down everything and rebuild it from the top. Like, you have to do away with the constitution, you have to rewrite all the laws. Like, you gotta do shit to protect people. Like, you can't just say, okay, well, we just gonna give you one law, or we gonna charge this one officer, but like all the rest of them getting slaps on the wrist and paid administrative leave. Now, it needs to be across the board. And to get that type of shit to happen, like, you have to tear down all this shit.
Yeah. And another thing, though, you see all these white people say, if they don't like the national anthem or they can't respect the flag, they need to just leave the country. Put your goddamn, give me some leave the country money. You know what I'm saying? Put your money where your mouth
country.
Is.
I was just going to say, first of all,
even if it's that, give me some leave the money country. If you give me enough money to where I can leave this motherfucker and live comfortably, I'll leave.
Yeah, like, I will leave. That's the thing. Like, if we get our reparations, like, I read an article a while back that said the reparation that's owed to us, like, with inflation and adjustments, is like $14.5 trillion.
Man.
For like all 40, how many black people it is here in the country? Like 40 some million, 42, 45.
So if you split that down.
I did the math on this. I split it down, like, money wise, it'll be probably like a little over $300,000 a person. That's every man, woman, and child, not counting the ones that's in jail.
I'd be broke by the end of the year.
So some people will have more. So it's like some people will have more. But the way I look at it, if we get our reparations, the way they would have to do it is like they would have to, yes, give us a check. But some of that money, we would have to get control of our own schools and educate our own people. We would have to have our own businesses in our neighborhood.
Fund our own stuff.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. We have our own shit, because like a lot of time, the reason why this shit keeps happening is because we so dependent on other sources. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we ain't got it.
It's hard to build up our own because we barely had a shit, and we've been had a foot on our neck for so long.
But that's the point we're trying to make. We don't have that shit because we were limited to that shit. So,
but see,
I mean,
the thing, and what they try to get us at is they say, y'all just want a handout. Black people don't want to work for nothing.
And
we've been working for the longest.
He was like, black people are upset with white people because white people are successful and they're not.
Bro, we've been working for the longest. And the only reason that they can say that they're successful is because they took
a handout.
They took a lot of the shit.
It was the Homestead Act. Like I was listening to a lecture, man, by Dr. Claude Anderson. He said it was the Homestead Act. He said, it was all that land, Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, Arkansas, like all this shit was just like free land. And they just said, any Europeans that want to come over, we'll give you 100 acres and some slaves, 100 acres of free land, some slaves, and y'all go build y'all will. And like immigrants were just coming from all European countries, just flying, coming to America in droves. Like, and that's how they got their wealth, a handout. Like, they got free land and free slaves, and then they was able to build shit and maintain this shit through their family, and it's been like that for generations. So
that was Congressman Robert Pittenger, something like that, from North Carolina.
A politician.
Woo!
Nigga who ain't
a
did
lawmaker.
Us, one who ain't did us no favors. That's we gonna talk about that.
The grievance in their minds. The animus, the anger. They hate white people because white people are successful and they're not.
Man, I mean, shit, if they would get the fuck out of our way and stopping the, and just like I just seen an article about, it's legal to discriminate against people with dreadlocks. That's one of the fucking reasons why we ain't able to be successful.
Yeah.
Because they look at shit like dreadlocks and say, oh, and who?
Ain't that crazy?
Yeah, don't nobody wear dreadlocks except black people. It's a few white folks in like Jamaica, somewhere from the islands or some shit like that, that have their hair.
But white people who let that hair get matted up.
Yeah, and shit like that. Those people, yeah, okay. But how many motherfuckers have you seen?
Yeah, it ain't that many.
None of them. Like,
and then the ones who do have their hair like that, they not out here on those. I'm trying to be a successful business.
Because like, initially, you know, that's part of our culture in some kind of way. So what are you saying? That's not allowed? Like, we can't.
Exactly. It's basically saying, I can discriminate against black people.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's how the laws work in this country. That's why I said, like, you can't reform this shit. It's too many loopholes and it's too many extras. You have to tear all this shit down and rewrite everything from the ground up. And it's going to be like, it's a long fight, like, because it's like you can't do it overnight. It had to be an eventual and gradual change. And the shit we going through now, the fighting and the struggling for right now is progressing. It's progressing right now. And I'm seeing, like, shit starting to, like, people getting more organized, people getting more educated, and people starting to, you know what I'm saying, do more in different avenues other than just protesting and getting shit together. Because, like, it's happening. Like, I'm seeing the shift in where people are going, but it's a little slower, and I know it's get frustrating for people because they want it to happen like right now.
They
want to
see instant results.
Yeah, but it's not gonna be like that. Like, we trying to make the world better for our kids and our kids' kids.
It's not gonna be like that for us. If it is, if it does get that way, then great. But I don't see it. Yeah, and then that was like a conversation I was having with one of my friends, because he was saying, you know, he felt like everybody should be moving in the same direction. And I was like, I don't think that's how it works. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you have different people who have different strengths who are better at other things than others. Like, you got people who are head smart. You need those people to work on just this. Like, you don't, even in the military, like, they give you a test to where they see, you know, what you're good at, and they put you in those areas. Everybody in the military don't do the same thing. Yeah. Everybody don't go out and fight. Everybody don't shuffle papers. Everybody isn't a nurse. Everybody isn't a doctor in the military. Everybody don't drive the tanks or the trucks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or do the mechanic work on the planes or fly the planes. So I was like, that's what you need. You need people who fit in different areas to do different things. I was like, so he was like, well, what about the people who are too far gone? You just don't fuck with them. I said, I can't spend time focusing on a person who's not trying to listen, who's not trying to educate themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's like beating a dead horse when I got 10 people who want to listen versus the 12 who probably don't. You know, I need to focus on those 10. Now, if at some point one of the 12 wants to learn, then I'm okay with it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But he was like, well, I told him, I said, everybody don't have to go out and protest. There's not everybody strong. A lot of, some people probably feel like protesting doesn't work.
Like me.
Some people feel like it does. But at the same time, I think you need the protesting to happen, because like Dr. Umar Johnson said on The Breakfast Club, it's kind of like a marketing tool. You know what I'm saying? Of you, it's like a product that you're trying to sell. You know what I'm saying? It's like your commercial. You know what I'm saying? To where you letting them know, hey, we want change. We got to have change. We fed up. We want change. And then when you get the people who come on the backside and make things happen and make things work, it's kind of like, okay, what they've been saying is, and they've been wanting this, and now we seeing the other group of people come along and moving things and shifting in the right direction. So I tell people, don't get discouraged because you may see one group of people doing one thing or something like that, because trust me, it's different groups out here doing different things. And a lot of people trying to tear down the Black Lives Matter movement, right? And I'm going to say this about that. I don't look at it for the people who are known for being the protesters who are always on the scene or whatever. I'm not like D-Ray and Nettle, but I'm not trying to discredit anything they did. I don't know them personally or anything like that. But that Black Lives Matter just does not solely depend on them. Black Lives Matter does not depend solely on the actual people who run that. The words alone itself means more than anything to me, you know what I'm saying? And the people who go out and protest in every city and scream those words, to me, that means more than, you know, whatever, if derating them are doing anything that we probably wouldn't approve of. And so I don't know. I just feel like we get caught up in trying to tear down the things of the people who are trying to help us. And then you get the people who are homophobic, and it's like, well, they just push an agenda just to save gays. That's a goddamn lie. You know what I'm saying? Like, the
what they're trying to do, because like there is like, of course there is a problem with homophobia, and a lot of people don't realize it, that like the people that are like out there in the streets, yes, they are black, but some of them have different sexual orientation. It's like, are you going to not want them on your side just because they have a different sexual orientation? And like, that was the problem. That was like one of the problems. It was like one of the women that was out there, she was a lesbian, and she was saying how when they was in Ferguson, like she was being called a dyke bitch and all this type of shit. You know what I'm saying? By own black men. By like other black men that were out there. And it was like, damn, that's some fucked up shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, if you see these people, they on your side. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing people have to realize, that as black people, we all are in this together, no matter whether you gay, straight, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual. Like, if we fighting for the same goal, we have to go for that goal. But you know what I'm saying? Don't, you know what I'm saying, put people under you just to, you know what I'm saying, make it all about yourself or about a certain group of black people. It's for all of the black people, because right. We all get affected by this shit. We all see the trauma. We all traumatized by this shit. It all fuck with us. We all have family members that's like this. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the thing they're trying to do, is make it more, you know what I'm saying, like let people know that just because you don't agree with their sexual orientation, like, bro, we still on the same side. And that's what I think they're trying to get. And that's, you know what I'm saying, something I'm cool with. But like, if they try to make it to where, okay, we're gonna, you know what I'm saying, push, you know what I'm saying, make it seem like the gay struggle is the black struggle, like that's where shit gets iffy for me. Like when you try to equate being gay with being black or some shit like that. Because the thing is, like, one of the biggest faces of the LGBT movement is Ellen DeGeneres, like a white lady. So whenever people think about being gay, they look at her. Whenever people think about being black, who do they look at? Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, like people they hate. You know what I'm saying? So, and plus, like, being with the LGBT in that community, it doesn't have a color line. Once you black, you black. You know what I'm saying? You can be black and gay, or you can be black and straight, or you can be white and gay, or white and straight, and you can still have those views against black people to still have the same prejudice and shit like that. So, I mean, it's really, at the end of the day, we all have a common goal. We have a common fight. We just gotta get past all the petty bullshit, because like the divide and conquer shit, man, it's really true, and I see it all the time.
All right, and then one more thing I want to say. I see a lot of our sisters feeling like they're being left out, because we always say black men, black men, black men are being killed, black men are being killed. And it's not just black men, it's black women, it's black kids. So I think the words, they feel like they're being left out because we're not saying black people. And at the same time, I feel like it's so fucked up that it's so many people being murdered at the hands of police that I have to keep up with so many different names. You know, it's so many different women, so many different men, so many different of our youth that's being murdered, and I have to keep up with it all. To me, that's fucking traumatizing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to make sure that when I speak about this, that I can't forget how many women have died. I can't forget how many men have died. I can't forget how many kids have died, have been murdered at the hands of police officers, or just racist white people, period. Or just racist people of any other race. Like George Zimmerman, for instance. I can't forget about Trayvon Martin when I speak about stuff like this. I can't forget about Mike Brown when I talk about stuff like this. And if I do, I get chastised for it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I gotta have all these obituaries in my mind.
It's not your fault that you can't remember all those names. It's like, that's the point you're trying to make. Yeah. It's too frequent.
Yeah, it's so many, but at the same, we get faulted for not remembering this. So I just say, if we could just remember to say black people instead of saying black men. Cause I know you see a lot of women saying, "Oh my God, they're killing our black men. We need to uplift them." black men need to be saying the same thing, because the same thing is happening to black women. You know what I'm saying? And it needs to be more love shown between the two, because for over 400 plus years, we were turned against each other. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And our fathers, you know, fucked up and fucked up the household. And then that got passed down, you know what I'm saying? And all types of different shit. So I just feel like we just got to be conscious of that. But don't fault me for not remembering everybody's name, or not speaking on everybody's name, or remembering how they were killed, or watching every video. That shit is fucking traumatizing. It's tiring. You know what I'm saying? It's exhausting. It really is. I want things to change just as much as you do. But at the same time, like, that's another thing that I don't need on my plate, is for somebody to be on my ass because I'm not mentioning everybody's name. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, shit. Man, look, I just say, as far as us getting better, like, there's a million books out there, like, with history and stuff that will educate you and let you know why things are the way they are. And once you know why things are the way they are, then you will know how to change it. Because, like, I've been doing a lot of reading for, like, the past year and change. And, like, it's a lot of shit that I just figured out. And it's, like, it's a whole psychological process behind, like, why shit is the way it is, as well as a bunch of laws that have been put in place, as well as a bunch of events that have happened that, like, changed the course of history. And, like, a lot of people don't know that. They just think that things happen due to our faults, or, like, some shit that we did, when in actuality, like, we never really had the power to, like, change shit like that on a scale. So it's like, you can't put the blame on us for, you know what I'm saying, for a lot of shit. Yes, there is some things we do need to get better at, but it's like, dog, a lot of shit that we can't, that controls the masses of us, like, we don't control it. Like, so as far as, like, just get better with yourself. If you want to learn, don't be stubborn. Don't think you know everything. Because a lot of people, I think that's where they go wrong. They feel a certain way about something or something that happened to them, and they feel like they're an expert on a subject, when it's like, what happened to you doesn't mean that it happened to somebody else, and you have to listen to their side, or you have to get their story, and you have to know everything, the ins and outs and the complexities of all this shit, so you will actually know how to handle it. So, yeah, just, man, whenever y'all see things like, oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. When shit like that happened, don't attack nobody. Like, be patient with them enough to educate them on the situation. Because that's usually how a lot of shit goes. Like, when something happened like that to, like, either a black woman or, you know what I'm saying, somebody in the LGBT community, like, people get attacked. They get defensive and they start attacking people for not mentioning them. Like, dog, you have to educate people. Like, bring them along. Because, you know, we know it's a problem and we know how people feel about this situation. So, like, just by attacking them, you only kind of making them want to keep poking fun at this shit. So, yeah, man, just shit, educate people instead of attacking.
So, with all this going on, y'all watching the debate tomorrow?
No.
Nah, I'm gonna be at work, man. Fuck this whole election.
Yeah. It's like a fucking comedy sketch. And let me say this. Don't let people scare you into voting. If you don't like either one of the candidates, you do not have to vote. You can hold your goddamn vote. We won't be any worse off than we have been since we've been over here, goddamn it. None of these motherfuckers have done us any favors. You know what I'm saying? Like, any favors. Don't let them play on your emotions, because now they want to talk about these police shootings.
President Obama talking about it would be a disgrace to his legacy if black people don't vote, bro. Don't use our skin color, like, when you ain't did shit for us, really, bro. Like, all this shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, all this shit been happening on his watch, man, and he hadn't did, like, put one law in place. He ain't did nothing federally to, you know what I'm saying, get these police unions in order, none of this shit. So don't let these politicians lie to you. And, like, I understand the symbolism of having a black president and having a nice wife and his beautiful children. I know all that looks good and all this shit. But, bro, don't be blinded by this shit.
Yeah, bro, I did bro, really, like, a lot of people like to speak highly of him, and they hate when you talk down on him and shit. But none of these politicians have done us any favors, dog. Like, so, yeah, it's more important that you vote locally than nationally anyway.
Exactly, your governors. You know what I'm saying? And all of that.
And like we discussed, I think, previously, on basically how your vote really don't even fucking count anyway, because it's more, especially when you're, yeah, when you're on the, what, the electrical, what you call it?
Electoral college.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. If you go to one of them schools.
Like the Vrind.
Unless you go to one of them schools.
ICTT.
Yeah, unless you go to one of them electrical scholarship colleges.
Your shit
do not matter. But just to let you all know, we will be doing a live show. And man, I kind of hate that we hadn't been doing the show these past 2 weeks, but we're trying to put together another live show. Well, not we trying, we have November 19th is the date. I can't remember the time. Is it 7? It says 7. It's at
doors open at 7. Show start 8 or
what's the name of the
Renaissance?
Yeah, the Renaissance on Madison Avenue. I can't even think of the address.
Yeah, it's
but
on,
I got
it's
the flyer
right across the street from Minglewood Hall.
Yeah, I got the flyer for it, so I'll be posting it. We'll post it, and just want y'all to come out. It's free. Food will be there.
Yeah, liquor will be there. Like, they serve food and liquor at the place.
Yeah,
now. They got their liquor license. So yeah, please support the business, the play, the venue.
But it's free to get in. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We're doing that much. So yep, y'all just come out, might have a good time with us, might pack the place out like y'all did last time. I don't drink anymore, so we're gonna put on a great show.
Yeah, I don't drink as much.
Yeah, I don't drink no more, period. So, period. I can't be embarrassing myself again like I do.
Yeah, oh, shit.
Anything you got to add, Tank?
Nope. Hope y'all have a great week.
All right, hopefully Tank don't think about that video no more and start crying.
I'm gonna go home and show it to my booby. Like, look at this, ain't this sweet?
All type ideas.
The hint, hint.
And he gonna roll his eye, girl, get in my face.
All right, man, it's Real Thinker Podcast. We out.
Deuce.